We're speaking today with Alexandra Fuller. She is the author of the newly published Cocktail Hour Under the Tree of Forgetfulness. Alexandra, thank you so much for taking a few minutes for us today.
Thank you for having me.
Alexandra, how willing was your mother to have her story told in this book after you had written about her in your previous memoir?
The awful book, as she called it. You know, the great thing about my mother and I is we are very, very alike in spite of having wildly different politics. And she has an incredible sense of humor. So after she got over her initial fury at the first memoir in which she felt she was depicted in not the rosiest light, she organized a boycott of me, as you know, you would. And so she didn't talk to me properly for about 4 years.
Wow.
And if she did, she spoke to me as the other. You know, this is my American daughter, as if that somehow, you know, alleviated me of the blood that she had given me. But then I became sort of, quote unquote, the American daughter in a jokey way. And finally, she said, oh, this is the ghastly one that writes the awful book. And so by the time I got around to writing this, I think there was almost nothing I could have done that would have been worse than writing the first book. And she actually participated in it. And I think wanted the opportunity to have the book written about the way she sees it. I mean, she has always envisioned herself as literature worthy. She's about the only person I know who not only sees herself as the myth of herself, but actually lives it to the point that she has her soundtrack, her own soundtrack, featuring, you know, Frank Sinatra.
If it's not too difficult, is there one particular story that you could pluck out of this book to share with our listeners?
For me, it's the one in which my mother, in all her imaginative glory, dresses my sister and I up for a fancy dress party. And my older sister, Vanessa, gets to be a rose, you know, in a pink tutu with pink tissue paper around her head. And I get to be I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, which my mother chose to depict by putting me in an insecticide drum. And not all the insecticide had been washed out of the inside of the drum. I can hardly walk. I'm waddling around, you know, with my legs sticking out of this thing. I'm immediately developing a rash. My mother has put a sort of green thing on my head to show a dying weed. And it then transpires, I mean, as if this wasn't bad enough, that because I'm in an insecticide drum, I do not fit into the front of the Land Rover, which is mine-proofed. And I have to sit in the back of the Land Rover so that if we go over a landmine, I will be blown to pieces. But my sister in the pink tutu as a rose and my mother will be, and all the dogs who are sitting in the front of the Land Rover will be fine. When I point this out to my mother, you know, 30 years later, sort of suddenly realizing the true horror of what had befallen me, my mother goes, exactly. And if I'd known that you were going to grow up and write awful books, I would have aimed for a landmine.
If it doesn't give too much away, what is the tree of forgetfulness you refer to in the title, and where are your parents now?
So in the Zambezi Valley where they live, there's a tradition amongst the villagers there that in each village there is this tree that is translated as the tree of forgetfulness, that each headman has one of these trees in his village. And if there's a dispute in the village, or if you're having problems, you go and sit under this tree. You commune with your ancestors. That's a very big part of the culture. And your problems, anxieties, conflicts will be resolved.
One of the things that you write about is the topic of racism and how the racism you describe in your memoirs is different from what we experience in the United States. How would you describe that difference?
You know, that's a really good question, because I think in this country, the racism tends to be go undercover. It comes out sideways. It's no less toxic. It's no less vicious, no less damaging. But I think that in this country, we sort of throw a tablecloth, a white tablecloth over the top of it and pretend that it isn't going on. Racism when I was growing up was far more overt. And in an odd sort of way, I think it is cleaner and easier to deal with overt racism than covert racism. It's more easily acknowledged. It can lead to direct violence, but you can see it. It's the poison you can see rather than the poison that slipped into your drink. And I think in this country, it's the poison that has slipped into your drink.
How often do you return to Africa, and do you envision living there again at some point?
I go back as often as I can. My father, having reached his year and 10 now assumes that he has to keel over dead as if that was some sort of biblical edict, and has chosen the tree under which he plans to be buried. And so I sort of feel the responsibility to go back quite often and check up on him and keep him out of the grave into which he keeps threatening to hop. I also miss it desperately. I miss, you know, it's my childhood, and it's my parents, it's my family. So I go back as often as I can for that reason, and I can envision going back and living there sometime. But the thing that I would miss about this country and the great gift and responsibility, I think, of living in the United States is the freedom of speech that we're allowed.
And finally, having lived in so many places, what attracted you and your husband to move out to the Mountain West and to Wyoming?
Well, you know, his grandmother had had a place out here, so he had spent every childhood summer since birth in the mountains. And I think, you know, the mountains are a little bit like the sea, in that once you sort of had them, your soul hankers for them.
We've been speaking with Alexandra Fuller, author of Cocktail Hour Under the Tree of Forgetfulness, and previously author of Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight. She'll speak at the Salt Lake City Main Library this Friday night at 7. Alexandra, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.